Welcome, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. It's good to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. We pray that God would bless us as we hear His word and receive His gifts. God is merciful to us, and we pray that that mercy would move us to be merciful to one another. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, number 504, Father Most Holy. Father Most Holy. We'll stand on the last verse of that hymn. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3. It's on page 184 and following. Page 184 and following. Propers for the day are on the inside of the bulletin. Readings are on the back. Brief outline on the edge. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks this day for the mercy that you shower down upon us, not giving us what we truly deserve, punishment and eternal separation from you. We thank you for the gift of Jesus, who has taken our sin into himself and onto himself all the way to Calvary's cross. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your mercy you have delivered forgiveness, life, and salvation to us in the waters of holy baptism. Heavenly Father, may that mercy that you are so rich and bountiful with, cover us, fill us, and extend through us. Heavenly Father, merciful God, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen for us and for the life of the world. Amen. Hymn 504.
Thank you.
Divine Service, Setting 3, page 184. Page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings of death, of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing the introit appointed for the day.
To God.
Let us pray. O Lord, grant that the course of this world may be so peaceably ordered by your governance that your church may joyfully serve you in all godly quietness through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive, as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue speaking the gradual together, found in your bulletin.
Atone for our sins, for your name's sake. Why should the nations say, "Where is their God?" Help us, O God of our salvation. For the glory of your name, deliver us.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with a glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the sixth chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." He also told them a parable. "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, page 191.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God, God, light, light, very God, substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us then and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated for our sermon hymn, number 544, O Love How Deep, number 544.
Oh,
the name of Jesus,
amen.
You may be seated. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. These words get thrown around by nominal Christians all the time. Usually when they disagree with you on a moral issue. We hear these words when we speak God's truth. When we say homosexuality, adultery, pornography are all sins against God's good gift of marriage. When we say that, we hear, judge not. When we say, don't gossip, don't use bad language, don't steal, explain everything in the kindest possible way, we're told, condemn not. These words of Jesus are thrown back in our faces time and time again. They're used as if Jesus, God in the flesh, were telling us not to call any sin a sin. Some churches in our modern world have bought into this idea wholeheartedly, making these words, judge not, the centerpiece of their theology. When you hear a church say, judge not, it's code for, we won't talk about your sin. Or, more precisely, we won't judge anything to be sin. Remember a church in Fargo, North Dakota, that I drove past all the time, and this judge not idea came across in this way. A giant rainbow-colored sign above the entrance to their church that said, all people are welcome. I always thought that was kind of a judging statement. Does that mean people aren't welcome at my church? Aren't you judging me by saying that? And, by the way, is that really what Jesus means? Is that really what Christ says? Don't call sin, sin. Don't tell anyone that they've done anything wrong. Of course not. That's why we have context around these words in our gospel lesson for this morning, to help us understand what Jesus is really saying. To start with, the word judged and the word condemned, as Christ uses them in this gospel lesson, are legal words. The one who does judging is a judge, someone who finds a person guilty for a particular crime and condemns them or sentences them to a prison sentence, to death, or some other fine. The word for condemnation that is used means sentence, punishment, conviction. They are legal terms. They aren't words that can be translated, well, this is my opinion, this is what I think. They are words of truth, words of law and order, and punishment when law and order is broken. In other words, Christ is saying, it's not your job, it's not your job to sentence, to convict, to punish another to hell because of sin. You're not the judge. God is. He alone is the judge. He alone is the one who decides who's guilty and not guilty. He alone is the one who decides who goes to hell and who goes to heaven. And to be clear, he's given us a very clear picture on what that looks like. Rather, you as a Christian are free to be merciful. As the very first words of our gospel lesson for this morning state, you are to be fair, to judge your neighbor with the same mercy that you desire from them. The golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do to you. You have received mercy from God, and you are free to share that mercy with the people around you. You are not free to judge your neighbor based upon your own feelings about them. Instead, you're free to use God's word rightly, while still allowing God to be the judge. Christ says it this way about how we deal with the people around us. He says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. This is an allusion to the way you bought grain in the ancient world. When you sold grain to someone, it was expected that you were fair. You used a good measuring device. That means you didn't sell 2/3 of a bushel at the bushel cost. You shook down the grain so that it settled together and there were no air pockets. You pressed it down and you filled a little bit extra on the top. That way you were dealing honestly with the people around you. You were dealing with mercy. You were being fair to your customer. And in return, the customer was also fair to you and paid you what you deserved. The modern example is when there's only one cookie left on the plate, but there are two children who want it. You let the first child cut it in half, and the second one picks which half they want first. It's a motivation to be fair. If the first cuts the cookie unevenly, the other one will take the larger half, and the first will lose out. But if the first cuts him evenly, it doesn't matter which one the other child picks. Both will receive what is fair. Both will receive one half. A year ago, there was a gas station in Nebraska that gives us another example of this. Out west, they put a price up on their sign that said 79 cents per gallon. But there was only one pump out of 10 pumps that offered that price. The other 9 pumps still charged $2.79 per gallon. But you didn't notice until you got your receipt after you had already paid for your gas. It wasn't fair. It was taking advantage. Christians are not to behave that way. Not only with silly little things like grain and cookies and gas, but also with the important things, like sin and forgiveness of sin. It's not your duty to judge someone else's sin to be worse than yours. The adulterer will go to hell, but I won't. That thief deserves damnation, but I deserve happiness. You as a Christian are to avoid the proverbial, God has bigger fish to fry than me. But we struggle with this, don't we? Even here, in God's house, we look down the pew and we see Joe Christian sitting over there, and we say to ourselves, I remember 2014 when he got that drunk driving arrest. Or we see Susie Lutheran and think, what a harlot! I remember her in high school. Or we compare ourselves with one another by our giving records. Well, I might not give much, but at least I give more than Fred. Or maybe we even stop giving if the pastor says something we don't like. Or we look across the church and say, well, George speaks funny. Hank dresses funny. Eloise, well, she sins more than I do. We make ourselves the judge. And behind it all is self-justification. Or maybe we keep track of what pew people sit in. What's the best seat in the church for getting to heaven? Is it sitting in the front pew where you can see everything clearly, or is it in the back of church where you used to be able to get out of the door first? Are we saved because we've attended more Bible studies than someone else? Is God interested in who wears the better clothes? Is one height better than another? One skin color? One eye color? One hair color? What is it that makes us more worthy of Christ? The one who wears a mask or the one who doesn't? The one who wears a fancy mask or the one who wears a homemade mask? Will dealing with these questions get us into heaven? Who's the judge of what's right or wrong? Our sinful nature thinks that we are the judge. Our sinful nature is constantly condemning others so that we can feel better. It's constantly pointing out the speck in other people's eyes, but ignoring the log in our own. It's sin. It's hypocrisy. In all of these things, we make ourselves the judge. We might even do so in a very pious manner, but it's hypocrisy. As I pointed out, even the sign that says everyone is welcome is hypocrisy because it says we're better Christians than other churches because we don't talk about your sin. We put ourselves in the judge's seat. We pass sentence on others. We condemn apart from God's word, based on our own whims and opinions. We put ourselves in God's position, just as Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. Remember Satan's words? You will be like God, knowing good from evil. And so we say, your eye speck will send you to hell. But don't notice the log in our own eye. criminal becomes the judge. But it's all a ruse. It's self-justification, self-acquittal, ignorance of the law. A lie. Yes, it's a lie. There will not be any acquittals, any salvation, any peace, any hope, apart from God and God's Son, Jesus. We are Christians. And so we deal evenly, fairly. Let me deal evenly with all of us here and all of those listening on YouTube and on the radio. Let me be completely honest and speak the truth. Listen carefully. You are a guilty sinner. The person down the pew, across the room, your neighbor, they too are a guilty sinner. The guy in the pulpit, the person who sits in the next cubicle at work, the person you meet in traffic driving home from work, they are a guilty sinner. The person at the grocery store with a fancy mask on, the person at the grocery store with no mask on, they are a guilty sinner. All of us are. That's not my judgment. It's what God tells us in His Word. It's what He's revealed to us. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and justly deserve His eternal wrath and punishment. None of us is before or after another. The person who looks squeaky clean is just as guilty as the one who looks like a terror. All have sinned. The tall one, the short one, the fat one, the thin one, the white one, the black one, the man, the woman, all of us are sinners. God judges that to be true, no matter what we judge about ourselves. That's the fair truth. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, truth. And anything else is a self-justifying, hypocritical lie. And as that prior statement is true, this also is the truth. Listen carefully. God, the true judge, has had mercy on you, just as He has had mercy on all. Sin, all sin, every last sin, big and little sin, is forgiven by Jesus Christ. Even your sin is forgiven. God's only begotten Son came down to this world, took on our flesh, lived a perfect life, bled and died to forgive every single sin, every sinner, every guilty, rotten person, every self-justifying hypocrite, forgiven in Jesus Christ. his death and his resurrection. There is no sin that Jesus has missed by his Good Friday cross forgiveness. The forgiveness for every single person is complete, full, free. Jesus was nailed to the cross for you, mocked for you, pierced with a spear, dead and buried for you, and rose and ascended into heaven to prepare a place for you. Yes, even for a sinner like you. Because Jesus, now when God the Father looks at you, it is through the blood of Christ. And with Christ sitting at his right hand and whispering in his ear, "I've died for that one. They need not be punished." And that's the thing that all of us have in common. Every man, woman, and child in the world has that in common, whether they realize it or not. Jesus has died and rose for them. He's had mercy upon them and upon you. Don't deny this by avoiding your sin. Confess the truth and be forgiven in the truth. And so as Christians, that's where we begin. It might seem weird to end the sermon with where we begin, but that's how we'll do it today. Our beginning is a different place than the rest of the world. Our beginning, our unity as the people of God is not based upon political party, upon race, upon clothing, upon economic class, upon mask or no mask. Our beginning for unity is that we are all forgiven children of God. So when you're in conflict with someone, when you run into someone, when you're angry with someone, rather than focusing on judging only what they've done wrong and how they've sinned against you and how they deserve hell and damnation, leave that part to Jesus. Rather than nailing them to the cross so that you can feel better about yourself, let Christ be the one nailed to the cross. And look upon them with the mercy that God has given to you. I don't mean avoid talking about sin or calling sin, sin. God's word is clear. But don't forget Jesus. Don't forget mercy, the mercy that he's given to you. He's forgiven you your sin after all. Couldn't he forgive them as well? Let that be the foundation. Forgiveness, mercy. When you talk about sin, keep the remembrance of the sin payment Jesus in mind. Speak the truth. Be fair. Don't deny your own guilt. Don't deny your own forgiveness either. Pray to Jesus to take the log out of your own eye so that you can help with the speck in your neighbor's eye. Yes, you're both sinners. And yes, you're both forgiven. Be merciful as your Father who forgave your sin in Jesus is merciful. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our service continues as we stand and sing together the offertory.
Be seated. Again, welcome in the name of Jesus. Normally, we would pass the collection plates and the attendance registration books at this time. Took care of the attendance when you came in. There was a box for offerings. If you didn't see that on the way in, you can hit that on the way out as well. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a merciful God who shows that mercy in Jesus on poor, miserable sinners like you and me would be your peace, your comfort, your joy, and your salvation now and always. Our service continues with the prayers of the church. Please stand as you're able. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs, responding, Lord, have mercy. For an increase of mercy among all the baptized, that they would bless and not curse. Forgive as they have been forgiven. Give as they have been given to, and speak the truth in love, not with anger and pride. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors in Christ, that they would remain bold to preach the gospel in its purity and administer the sacraments according to Christ's institution. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For favorable weather, a bountiful harvest, protection for our farmers, that our crops would receive God's nurture and blessing, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For industries and the service sectors of this land, that their labors may be just and the work that they do may be profitable for all people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for a culture of life in our land and throughout the world, that all life from the womb to the grave would be cherished, and that all who view life as expendable would have their hearts and minds changed. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have been placed in authority over us, especially our president, Congress, our governor, mayor, and all those that make, administer, and judge our laws, that they would govern with a mind focused on peace and the general welfare of us all. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For an end to the pandemic and for mercy on all who suffer physical, spiritual, and economic hardship because of it, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for the freedoms we enjoy in our country. Let us give thanks to the Lord that we would never take these freedoms for granted and always strive to defend and protect them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick, for those preparing to undergo surgery, for the elderly and shut-in, and for all who desire our prayers, especially Ron, Janet, Dick, Barb, Sarah, LaVon, Vern, Luke, Robert, Greg, Andy, Julie, Daryl, the family of Joyce Papstein, the family of Harold Steiner, and all those that we remember in our hearts. That according to God's good and gracious will, they may receive healing, comfort, and assurance of His care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it would go forth and be extended to the four corners of the world, that love, peace, and mercy may be proclaimed everywhere, and especially this day, for the Lutheran Church in Haiti, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who receive the Holy Supper this day, that they would eat and drink the very body and blood of Christ with faith in these words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Continue now with the service of the sacrament, page 194. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of heaven and earth, of the glory.
In heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you.
Come to the Lord's name.
The blood of Christ.
Body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. We stand.
Thank you.
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the Common Doxology, 805. Be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, mercy incarnate for you, for me, for the life of the world. If you did not get the Good Shepherd news and notes when you came in, I encourage you to do so. A lot of information in there, especially with regard to our voters meeting that we had on Monday and our elders meeting that we had on Tuesday. Be able to catch up on all the activities and announcements that are going on in the congregation. Just a couple of the highlights. Monday night, we had our voters assembly here. The budget that had been emailed out to our members was passed. The voters decided to hold off for about 90 days with election of officers, and the officers that we have right now in the congregation have agreed to stay on for those 90 days. That'll give us a chance to kind of regroup through the summer as things get going a little bit more this fall. Also, the congregation nominated Reverend Dr. David Preuss to be the president at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. I think those are the main highlights from Monday night, right? On Tuesday night, we had our elders meeting and talked about how things have been going since we opened up worship again corporately on May 10. Things have been going very, very smoothly. The feedback has been very positive, and we're going to be keeping things as far as the procedures, keeping things pretty much the same throughout the month of July. There'll be very, very few changes there as we ease back into normal. The big change will be 2 weeks from today, the 19th of July, we will have corporate Bible study again. Sunday school is scheduled to pick up again in August, and so for the month of July, starting on the 19th, we have what we're calling family Bible study. when you leave here today, take a peek in the fellowship hall. We have the chairs set up, social distance, and all that kind of stuff. And we're encouraging families to sit at a table. More details and information in the news and notes. But that would be 2 weeks from today, July 19th. We'll be back to having Bible study on Sunday morning. We'll have coffee and juice, but no food. We're easing back into that as well, too. Pastor, anything that I'm forgetting? All right. We will be dismissing from the back to the front. I know people want to stand and visit and all that kind of stuff. Check out the fellowship hall, the way the tables are set up. But we're encouraging people not to congregate too much in the narthex. We want to respect everybody's privacy and nervousness with regard to the social distancing. If you want to stand and visit and all that kind of stuff, just step outside. It's not too hot and muggy out there just yet. Vicar.
Today we have a nursing home service at Savannah Pines at 1:30. In the past, we've been able to invite members of the congregation to come and enjoy that service with them as well, but this is our first indoor service in the main lobby there at Savannah Pines. So we'll see how it goes, and we should be open to more as we go on.
Okay, very good. For the month of June, our mission support was Lutherans in Africa. We still have some information and envelopes out there for that. If you'd like to encourage and pray for and support Lutherans in Africa. In July, our special focus is the Haiti Lutheran Mission Society, USA. Our congregation has been supportive of HLMS USA for over 20 years. I've been to Haiti 6 times, and the need there is great. We've got newsletters, brochures, offering envelopes as well. I just want to share, and there's some copies of a letter from Pastor Thomas Bernard, and this is June 29, so it's a very recent letter. Grace and peace to you from God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray that the newsletter finds you all as well as you are serving the Almighty God. And I'm going to skip down a little bit. As a ministry, we are immediately grateful to be blessed through our brothers and sisters in Christ overseas, especially in these tumultuous times of a worldwide pandemic. The challenges that our people have been facing these last days have been unexplainable. Some people are losing their lives, not from coronavirus, but from hunger. The majority of the people live day by day, meaning they need to go out every day in order to find something to feed their family for their day. It is a complicated situation. Nonetheless, our God is good and great at all times. Please keep our brothers and sisters in Christ in Haiti in your thoughts and prayers. Thanks, Dick, for being with us. Dick Beathy, Executive Director for the Haiti Mission Society. If you have any specific questions, you can talk to him. Wave your hand, Dick. All right, there you go. And we pray God's blessings upon our day, our week, our country, our life. Be merciful, as our Father in heaven is merciful. Amen.